1 John chapter 5, look at verse 4, and it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Say, our faith. How many of you know your faith is important? Last week we talked about vision, faith, hope, and patience and how they work together. This is springing off of that. Our faith is very important. But the title of the message, and we're actually starting a series, is Being an Overcomer. Being an Overcomer. Well, if you're not excited now, you will be. I just got news for you. The word overcome there means to subdue, conquer, prevail, get the victory. Get the victory. Now, how many of you know we're not trying to acquire victory? You already have it. We're told in Romans chapter 8, we are more, present tense, are more than conquerors. I'm not waiting to conquer. I'm more than a conqueror. So when this is talking about getting the victory, this is talking about getting the victory to manifest in the natural. I'm already in the position of victor. This word, overcome, is used 28 times in the New Testament. 24 of those are in John's writings. I found that interesting, that John had this revelation about being an overcomer. In Rick Renner's writings, he says it this way: this word is used to portray athletes who gained the mastery of the competition and ultimately reigned supreme as champions over the games. This word communicates vivid images that pertain to our walk of faith and victory. First, it tells us that when we begin the walk of faith, we enter into real-life competition. Too often, we wrongly presume that if we walk by faith, we will be removed from all problems. Anybody ever thought that? Come to Jesus and all your problems are cured. No, you just got a whole new set. But you now have the tools to overcome. But our faith pits us directly opposite the devil's powers. He hates our faith because he knows what it can do. For this reason, Satan may try to go for a knockout punch. But even if he knocks us flat, he can't keep us down on the ground. Did you hear that? He cannot keep you down. The Apostle Paul testified to this when he said that he was cast down but not destroyed. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 9. One translation says, "We occasionally get knocked down, but never get knocked out!" Exclamation. Man, I like that translation. I may get knocked down, but I'm never out. Thank you, Jesus. Those who are born of God have the supernatural ability to keep getting up again, no matter how many times they fall. The Greek word nikos tells us that we are the ultimate champions and describes our superior position as children of God over the world. We are fully armed with everything we need to be super conquerors in this life. Exclamation. Man, that's overcoming. See, now there's a lot of people who are overcome, but you're supposed to be the overcomer. And all the tools to be an overcomer are already yours. It's not something we're going to go get and acquire. No, we just need to operate our faith. Isn't that the victory? It's our faith. By faith, you will overcome anything that the devil tries. I just told you the best news of the day. Other than you're righteous. I mean, that's certainly good news too. But you have. You already have as your present possession victory and the faith that's required to walk in that victory. Man, that's good. Now, go over to Luke 17. We're going to be talking about areas where we overcome, okay? We just saw there the world. Now, he's not talking about overcoming planet Earth. The Earth is ours. That's our inheritance. The meek shall inherit the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth has he given to the children of men. The earth, planet Earth, is a good thing. It belongs to us. But when we use the term world, it's the Greek word cosmos. And it's world system that is in alienation from God and is opposed to God. How many of you know the world is opposed to God? They're still messing around with "In God We Trust" on our money. Or they're still messing around trying to take the Ten Commandments out of every public building. The world is hostile towards God. That's what we're talking about, overcoming the world system, not planet Earth. Planet Earth is headquarters. Yes, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, but it's the refurbishing of this planet right here. This planet is headquarters. People talk about when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven. Wait a minute. Heaven is temporary, just like Sheol was temporary in the Old Testament. Paradise, we called it. Just like that was temporary, everybody moved to heaven. Well, heaven is now temporary. We're coming back here. A city is going to descend out of heaven that is 13,000 miles cubed. That's a big city. That's like the size of the United States. It's huge. It's huge. And that'll be headquarters. The new Jerusalem. I didn't mean to get into eschatology, but that just felt good, didn't it? Those are some end time stuff for you there. You got to be careful about teaching end time stuff because everybody will run up all their debt and like, we're out of here. You know, it's like, no, 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 no. You occupy till he comes. You got to act like it's going to be 100 years. Luke 17, look at verse 1. Then he, this is talking about Jesus, said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." Now, I could kind of camp on the second part of that. Woe to him through whom they come. I'm not even going to go there. You know, I'm not even going to go there. What I want to talk about is the fact that he said it's impossible that offenses don't come. And because we're launching these home gatherings, which are relational, I don't want to gloss over what Pastor Francis Chan said in that little 5-minute video that we watched. He said it's not without its challenges. He said relationships are messy. They're messy. And then we saw that video on Godspeed. They were talking about the elder Colin, and he knew all the stories, and some of them were painful stories. And so we're going to have to work at this thing. It's impossible that offenses don't come. And we're going to learn how we overcome those things because they're strategically placed there. Offenses are strategically planted to get you off course, to ultimately steal from you, to destroy your life, and to bring death, ultimately. John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we want to talk about offense and being overcomers in this area. Our faith will get us over. It's not our emotions that get us over. How many of you forgive when you feel like it? If that's how you're doing it, you're going to be there a while. Because the healing in the emotional realm does not occur until you, by faith, begin to forgive. Then your emotions start to come around. The longer you live in unforgiveness, the more animosity you're going to foster. And I'm telling you, it's a cancer. I said it's a cancer. It means death to a body. Are you with me? The word offense, are you ready for this? It's the word scandalon, and I've taught on this many times over the years. Some of you have heard this before, but we have a lot of new families, praise God. They maybe haven't heard it yet, so just bear with me. Scandalon, it's a trap stick or a bent sapling. It's a snare. So just look at it in its basic form. It's a trap. I said it's a trap. Anything that arouses prejudice or becomes a hindrance to others or causes them to fall. Remember, the devil's trying to knock you out. Sometimes he can get you to fall, but he can't knock you out. We get our word scandal from this word, scandalon. And it literally is the bait stick that is used for trapping monkeys. Amen. The way it works is they will take a cage that's big enough for the hairy monkey's arm and hand to go through. They'll tie a banana or whatever's appealing to the monkey. They will tie that bait to the scandalon. The monkey reaches in and grabs the scandalon and won't let it go. And now they're caught. They're caught by their unwillingness to let it go. The hunter walks up and doesn't even waste a bullet. Whacks them in the head. They're caught. Why are they caught? They won't let it go. You have to let go of the scandalon. Why? Death is pending. We need to make a worship song out of that Frozen. Let it go, let it go. Right? Cold doesn't bother me anyway, right? Maybe not. Okay, sorry. Maybe it's been a little overdone. But there's things you got to let it go. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did. Maybe somebody hurt you. This is why we're talking about this, because in this church, we find it's a large percentage. I'd say it's in the 90s that people have been injured by ministries. People have been hurt by ministries. The sad thing is, when they will come in injured like that, then we have to pay for it by the way people respond. This happened to me, so I'm going to have this against you. Well, let me just go ahead and repent for everybody that's ever hurt you. I'm sorry that that happened. And I don't want to gloss over it. But you know what? Healing is available. What happened to you is not more powerful than the anointing of Jesus Christ to heal the brokenhearted. People that hold on to it or won't let it go, that's what they're saying. I'm going to take care of this. The blood of Jesus isn't enough. Man. Offense is the common cold to the body of Christ. Think about it. It makes a person sound funny and no one wants to be around them. It's highly contagious and will spread like an epidemic if not quarantined. It drains all the energy and weakens the body until all progress has stopped. Talking about offense. Left untreated, it can lead to death. The leadership of a local body must act like the white blood cells in the human body. You guys know what the white blood cells do? They surround anything that is foreign. The white blood cells gang up on it and they surround it. They create an insulation buffer and they dismiss it from the body. I want you to go over to Hebrews chapter 12. And all of this is somewhat preemptive in the sense that we are moving into an arm that is very relational within this body. And so we want to go ahead and make some decisions now about how we're going to conduct ourselves. The more we fellowship, the more we interact, the more opportunity there will be to get offended. I go to a pastor's group on Thursdays, and so we made it part of our creed that we have preemptively forgiven. We call it preemptive forgiveness. I've already made the decision to forgive whoever says something that rubs me wrong, because it will happen. It has happened. But I've already decided what I'm going to do. I'm not going to wait until I feel like forgiving you. I've already made that choice. I've already made that decision, because unity is paramount. If we yield ourselves to the spirits that are trying to minister offense, we're cooperating with the devil and we're inviting death to this body and to your own lives. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 14, and it says, pursue peace with most people. You were reading. Okay. A couple of you are reading with me. Pursue peace with the people that you can get along with. Pursue peace with the lovable people. Pursue peace with people who are mostly like you. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, I usually divided those two things. You know, we're to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's true, without holiness, but he made us holy. We talked about that in our prophetic bridge from worship to the word. We've been made holy, but I want to submit something to you, that if we don't pursue peace with all people, you're not going to see God. Thank you, Ken. I will preach it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It's true. And I can bear that out in other scripture. We'll come back. Keep your finger there in Hebrews. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, "For someone says, I love God and hates his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen?" You're not going to see God unless we love our brothers and our sisters. Amen? Now, go back to verse 14 again. Hebrews 12, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Now, I didn't say you weren't born again. I didn't say he wasn't in you, but it will be as though he's not. You'll kind of be on your own. He is a perfect gentleman. He will not impose the benefits of being a child of God. He won't impose those on you. He won't embarrass people with a miracle of healing if they don't believe for it. I wish he would, you know, just so they get the slack jerked out of them, you know what I mean? But it doesn't work like that. How many of you want that? It's like somebody's talking all kind of death and doom and gloom and they're sick and you can tell why they're sick. It's coming right out of their mouth. And you're like, God, just heal them miraculously so they'll shut up, you know? Okay. But then he goes on to say, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. If we're not pursuing peace with all people, we're going to come up short in the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, when I read that about many become defiled, it's kind of like we talked about with the common cold, the offense. It is highly contagious. It will get other body parts sick and offended. And that's what offense tries to do. It tries to impose offense on you. I want you to take up my offense. Anybody ever meet somebody like that? And that's the purpose, is I want to get you offended so I have an ally in this thing. I want you offended with me. But I want to submit to you that it's not just talking about people in proximity, but it's your life. Many become defiled. It could mean your health. It could mean the peace in your home. It could be your marriage. Could be your finances. Those things will become defiled because of a root of bitterness. We don't want that. Here, we pursue peace. What does that mean? That means it's our quest. That's our endeavor. I have to give effort to this. I wish that peace with everybody was automatic. You go through a Holy Ghost car wash when you get born again, and now you hear angels everywhere you go. Everybody's nice to you. They smile. It's all good. I wish it was like that. Maybe someday in heaven. I don't know. Maybe someday when we move back to earth, perhaps. I don't know. We just don't get life always on our terms, but we have faith that can cause us to overcome. We can change the conditions. And see, we need to use our faith when we're talking relationships. However, my faith has no jurisdiction over the other person. I have jurisdiction over my life and my choices and my family and my circumstances. But I don't have faith over somebody else to choose. And if you're praying in such a way as to try to use your faith to manipulate somebody to choose a certain thing, that's called witchcraft. You're out of bounds with that sort of thing. Now, the word bitterness is a condition of extreme wickedness producing bitter fruit. Now, listen to Rick Renner's writings about this. An inward attitude that is so bitter, it produces a scowl on one's face. In other words, you become so inwardly infected with bitterness that you are outwardly affected in your appearance and disposition. A root of bitterness is easy to spot. It's people who have forgotten how to smile. The fruit it produces is unkind, sour, sharp, sarcastic, scornful, cynical, mocking, contemptuous, and wounding. Bitterness has nothing good to say about the other person. In fact, it looks for negative things to say about that person in order to affect others' opinions about him as well. If you find yourself constantly saying negative things about someone who has offended you or upset you in the past, it may be that a root of bitterness is trying to grow inside your heart. If this describes you, it is essential that you grab a hold of the root of bitterness through the act of repentance and rip those destructive roots clear out of your soul. That tells you how to deal with it. Right there. That tells you how to deal with it. How do we deal with it? Repentance. First message of 2018. We talked about godly sorrow, part of which was repentance. And the word repentance, it's a looking back, and it's the seat of moral reflection. You're looking back and you're saying, I could have done this differently. I will make changes not to repeat that mistake. That's what repentance is. Repentance is what we call a reword. You know, the rewords like rebuild, redeem, there's a bunch of them, receive. Well, re, the prefix re, means to put back again. The word pent means top, like a penthouse. So what are we doing? We're repenting. It's God putting us back on top. See, we look at repentance like, I'm a dirty dog, I'm sorry, and you beat yourself down. No, you're making a change, and you're being restored back to where you belong. Boy, isn't that powerful? Thank you, Jesus. Now go over to Matthew 18. Ooh, I wasn't going to do this, but I think I will. Do you know what a click is? Anybody ever heard of a click? Here we go. I got this Thursday. We were in the pastor's meeting, and I heard these elements being shared, and I just immediately, I'm on my phone. They probably thought I was checking Facebook or texting or something, but I was taking notes. The Lord gave me this. He downloaded this. This is what a click is. Are you ready? A coalition of the insecure that is adversarial to the community culture because it is threatened by it. I know, it's wordy. A coalition of the insecure that is adversarial to the community culture because it is threatened by it. We have a healthy culture in this church. We really do. It's a loving culture. That's the one thing that we keep hearing about. And again, I don't mandate that. Come to Brookside Church, and if you are, you'd be nice. You know, we don't do that, do we? We can't. But that is our DNA. That's being replicated because that's who we are. Amen? Did you find Matthew 18? I'm going to give you the biblical protocol for how to deal with offense. Are you ready? Okay, now if somebody has hurt you, you need to forgive them, especially if you've allowed that root of bitterness to get a hold of you. It's like a cancer that will bring certain death to your life. Matthew 18, look at verse 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. See, there's the takeaway. There's the outcome that we're looking for. We want to regain our brother. Amen? That's the goal. We want to regain our brother. Verse 16, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So in other words, you had a one-on-one meeting that didn't go so well. All right, let me get a couple of other people, and maybe all of us talking together can help this person see what's happening. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear even the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So there's four steps right there. He's giving you four steps. One-on-one, two or three witnesses, tell it to the church. Now, when he says tell it to the church, I got to qualify that. That doesn't mean you stand at the door like a greeter and you tell everybody that comes through the door that business. That's not what he's saying. That's called gossip. That's harmful. Love covers. We need to operate in meekness, and that is to minimize the exposure of the offense. We want to minimize the exposure. When it's talking about bring it to the church, my opinion is that it's talking about the leadership of the church. Get the leadership involved. And this happens to me a lot. People will come to me, you know what so-and-so said? And I just stop them. And I said, well, did you talk to them about that? If they said no, I'm like, dude, you're on step number three. Go back and do one and two. If that doesn't work, come talk to me. Don't try to skip. Because if you skip step one and two, it's gossip. You didn't try to work this out. You just want me to do your dirty work. You want me to go and get a pound of flesh for you. I'm not doing it. Then it goes on to say, let him be a tax collector. If they won't hear the leadership of the church, if those first three steps don't work out, we're going to part ways. It can't continue. And that's when it's appropriate to cut ties and part ways. I think it's a last resort. Our goal is to gain a brother. That's our goal. I've apologized for stuff I did not do just to get the ball rolling that maybe there can be some reconciliation in this situation. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if a person believes you offended them, then they believe it. I have done this. I'm going to give you something I don't usually give away, but I'm going to give it to you. Here you go. Are you ready? We've sat down in ministry sessions and actually led people in a confession to forgive God. And I normally get some weird looks when I say, Father, I forgive you. I lead them in that confession. And then I have to explain it. Look, we all know God didn't mess up. We know God's not guilty of something, but you chose and took an offense, and you need to, through forgiveness, release it. You held God responsible. Some sort of injury that happened in a child's life, and they're like, God, where were you? And they felt abandoned, and they got mad at God. I'm telling you, it's a lot of people go through that, a lot of people. And through that confession, we can bring restoration. Once we get on the other side of it, and the forgiveness has occurred, they've unpacked the animosity and the offense. Now they can see clearly, oh, wait a minute, you were there, I wasn't abandoned. People did stuff. I was holding you responsible, but they made choices. A child is abused or something like that. God's not in that. I said he's not, and he's not happy about it. But the jurisdiction of planet Earth is in the hands of man. Amen? So that's the biblical protocol. Go to them one-on-one, get a couple of witnesses, then tell it to the church leadership. Now, there are people who will refuse. They're stubborn or whatever. They get into such pride, they can't see the error of their way. If that happens, part ways. It's biblical to part ways. Now, go over to Romans 12. I'm actually having fun teaching this. I was a little nervous about it. I thought, oh, man, another one of these? You know. But as we get into relationships, we just need to go in knowing that these opportunities for offense are going to be there. One of the Charis Bible College teachers calls it your sandpaper person. Well, iron sharpens iron. We're trying to knock some burrs off of each other. Don't always run from your sandpaper person. It may be that there's some rough edges that the Lord's trying to hone. Because we've all prayed this way. Tell the truth. We've all prayed like this. Lord, you need to change them and change them now. My life would be good if they would just change. And it doesn't work like that, does it? No, I'm going to tell you how to deal with it. Are you ready? Romans 12, look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Could that be any more clear? Do this and don't do this. Now, let me go ahead and tell you, if you're going to do that and somebody has incensed you, that's where faith comes in. You're going to have to do it by faith because you don't feel like doing it, right? You want to go in and get a pound of flesh out of. And listen, my brain is like a lawyer. I will show you where you're wrong, and you will have no option. I'll walk you into the corner. There you are. The only conclusion is that you're wrong. And that's not a blessing. So we're to bless. See, I have to fight that urge, and I have to say, you know what? I have a gift that I want to give you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's what these home groups are going to be about, these home gatherings. There's going to be people coming in with tragedy, and we're going to shoulder in with them. We're going to weep with them. And we're going to rejoice when Mitch gets his new truck. We're going to celebrate those things. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We all need to highlight that right there, that last sentence. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I try on occasion to help God. I do. I'm like, Lord, this looks like the right way to do this. And then he outsmarts me with his brilliance. Like, oh, I never saw that coming. He's just smart. He knows what he's doing. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Now, did it say repay most people? Repay no one. People are going to do some jacked up stuff. They're going to hurt you. They're going to say things that are offensive. How are we going to act? I'm not going to go back and forth with them if I'm going to do this God's way. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now, here's what I want to get to. Watch this. Verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That sounds like Hebrews 12, right? We're pursuing peace with all, right? Okay, but this says, if it is possible. That means that there may be an occasion that it's not possible. Because it's not entirely up to you. He says, as much as depends on you. So when you've done everything on your side, if there's still friction, you're off the hook. You no longer bear any responsibility. There's no more blood on your hands. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. That's me in my lawyer mode. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, it is our inclination. I believe it's the nature of our flesh to defend ourselves. Am I the only one with a flesh like that? And I got a revelation for you, that when you do that, you are giving authority away to that person to judge you. When you stand there and you try to defend yourself, you don't need to do it. Jesus didn't do it. Amen. Did he? Amen. I mean, he's on trial for his life. He's standing in front of Pilate and later Herod. And Pilate said, you're not going to say anything? Don't you understand? I have the authority to have you crucified or I can let you go. Now Jesus speaks up. You would have no authority over me if it hadn't been given to you from heaven. That's what the issue was right there. If he had defended himself, he would have given authority to Pilate to judge him. And that's why we don't need to defend ourselves. Just knowing that you're right is enough. That right there was worth the drive, no matter if you lived across the street. I mean, that was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, because of that, because we're not going to repay, because we're not going to defend ourselves, we're going to let the Lord handle it, right? We're going to let him deal with the situation. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. You know what that is? Conviction. It's hard to slap somebody that's being nice to you. And this is all summarized by saying, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What are we going to do? We're preemptively forgiving. I'm not going to carry offense. You know, it was in one of the pastor's meetings. I want to say it was probably 7 months ago. I'm there because this is a supply to me on Thursday mornings. You guys got to go, and Karen was there a couple weeks back. And I mean, it's just a supply to me. And I'm hearing from God. It may not be exactly what they're saying, but I'm hearing the Holy Ghost on the inside. Pastor Chris Duvall was sharing, and I don't even remember what his topic was. These guys were talking about like authority and submission and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden it hit me. I'm offended. I didn't know I was offended, but the Lord showed me I was offended. And you know what? I dealt with it right then and there. Right there. In fact, I put it on the table and said, guys, I just realized I'm offended. I need you guys to pray with me. First of all, I repent of this thing. I choose to forgive. I'm going to let this offense go. I'm letting go of the scandalon. I don't want my head bashed in. Too much is at risk. My kids want me to be there when they graduate from college. You know what I mean? I want to last a while. And offense will shorten your life, man. It's just not worth it. So don't be overcome with evil. The devil is trying to overcome you. But you are the overcomer because of your faith. And how do we forgive? We forgive by faith. By faith. Most conflict is rooted in a misunderstanding. Somebody has drawn a conclusion that's incorrect. And if they would just have a conversation, it could be cleared up and all that could be taken care of. I've seen it time and time again. And I would say it's a high percentage, a very high percentage. And here's the deal. We're to walk in love, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is ever ready to believe the best. So if I have options as to what I'm going to believe about a situation, I don't pick the darkest one. They meant that. They did that on purpose. That was sinister. No, I have options. I don't think that's how they meant that at all. And if it's still a question, maybe I talk to them. Did you mean this? It sounded like you meant this. Julie and I have that conversation a lot. Now, I just want to be clear. It sounded like you, oh no, honey, I wasn't saying that. We don't let the sun go down on our wrath. The Bible says you can get angry, right? But we know from James chapter 1, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's okay to get angry because it said in Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. It's not a command to be angry. It's saying when you get angry, don't act on it. Galatians 5 talks about an outburst of wrath. See, that's when you fly off the handle. Jesse Duplantis calls it a fit. Had a fit of carnality, right? Anybody ever had a fit? We've all done it. But we choose not to carry that offense. Let it go. Forgive. Did they do it on purpose? They may have. They may have done something dastardly to you. This is all preventative maintenance, like going to the doctor for a checkup. We're making sure that all of our systems are working good. That's all this is. We don't want a schism to go on and exist in the realm of offense because it's a cancer to a body, and we don't want it. Amen? Did you get anything out of that?